Oh, nice. Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, sure.
I want to ask you about your early childhood. I want to know where you were born, and then I want you to tell me more about like your first artistic endeavors. When did you get into the art world?
Okay, well, I was born in Toronto, where I live. I guess the first things I tried to do was I really wanted to make comic books. But I think I was like trying to start bands with people like as early as like I don't know 8 or 9 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What kind of like what were you trying to make back then? Do you even remember what kind of music you wanted to make?
Yeah, I think without having like any skill whatsoever, I really wanted to play saxophone because it seemed like there was a saxophone solo in the middle of every song. And then I don't know. I think I tried to. I really liked the Fat Boys a lot.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Fat Boys,
But
I
I
love
also
Fat
really
Boys.
liked like. I was a skater, so I really liked like anything that was in Thrasher magazine, like advertised in Thrasher magazine. So I really liked like Red Hot Chili Peppers, and like the Misfits, things like that.
Nice.
Nice.
Would you say
Yeah.
those bands were like your first musical inspirations, like, or was there a different group of people that would inspire you musically?
I don't know. I mean, I liked that stuff when I was a kid, and I remembered liking that stuff. And when I don't know, in like grade six or whatever, when you start like when you're 11 and you first start getting into music sort of more earnestly, I think I tried to find those things in the record store to see if they were still any good, right? And definitely, I think I would have been listening to like a lot of like thrash metal in like junior high.
Oh,
Like
nice.
it would have been
Nice.
like 89, 90. So like I was probably listening to a lot of like Nuclear Assault and Anthrax, like a lot of Anthrax. Yeah.
So is that would that kind of explain maybe the more like harsh sound with your voice that you use in a lot of your music is like that the yelling comes from that root of thrash metal?
Maybe more likely just like hardcore, like in general, like in high school, I was like really involved in like, I don't know, going to a lot of hardcore shows. Not just high school, like well after. So probably that. But I mean like that wasn't like immediately prior to Ninja High School, I was like going to see like a lot of like experimental music. So like I mean there's a lot of that. I think Ninja High School came out of like I was trying to make ambient music in my parents' computer. Like I was okay, so okay, this is a bit of a long story,
No,
but
I'm
like
listening. Don't worry, I have time.
okay, so I went to art school in like 97 to 2001, and around the end of 1999, I started a band called Currently in These United States, and we're like did okay in Toronto, like pretty popular in Toronto, but didn't really play a lot outside of the city. I dropped out of school to do that in 2001, and we recorded an album, and then I moved to Guelph to like go back to school. Like Guelph's another city in Ontario. While I was in Guelph, I would go back to my parents' house like on weekends sometimes, like just to do laundry and things or like hang out with friends. And I started recording all this music like in this drum machine program on their computer called Hammerhead.
Oh, I've heard it. Yeah, I know Hammerhead.
Yeah,
Sounds
yeah.
familiar.
The whole First Stage of High School record was made, like We Win was made entirely in Hammerhead.
Really?
Yeah, in
That's
Cool Edit
crazy.
96.
Wow. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
Was like, I figured out how to cut up, like make WAV files and then like downgrade the sample quality off of CDs. And then like I would cut both sides, like hoping that it would be like a good loop. And then stick it into Hammerhead and then
So
figure
you
out the
weren't even
BP.
able to listen to it beforehand.
No. Wouldn't
Wow.
know
So
what
you're
it's
just
gonna
going in
sound.
blind when you're throwing these samples in.
Yeah.
What kind of samples would you use? What CDs would you sample from?
Okay, well, we have a song called It's Gonna Be Us. It was on the Toronto Is Great compilation that the Blocks put out. And the guitar in it's like got this like really garagey sounding guitar part. It's like really dirty. It's the acoustic guitar from Higher by Primal Scream.
Let
Just
me
came out
see.
so demented sounding.
Let me see. Hold on. You're talking about. I have the. What was the song you're talking about again?
It's gonna be us.
It's gonna be us. Yes, this song.
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit of it. Can you hear it? I don't know if you can hear it.
No.
All right, I'm listening to it right now. And you're seeing the guitar part from it?
Wait, no, because if it's the version off the EP, that's like someone actually literally playing an acoustic guitar.
Right, but the acoustic guitar is the same chord progression on there?
No.
Oh, okay. It's different.
It's
Okay,
just someone
understood.
like randomly playing
For
something.
sure, for sure. Okay, I got
Yeah.
it. I see you now. I see you now. But that's really cool. Like and you said you recorded We Win by yourself? Like you did that by yourself?
No. I recorded all the beats by myself, again, like in my parents' computer.
Right.
They loved. And then we had all the beats on CDRs. Like, so another thing that happened when I was living in Guelph was like it was just like I had no money, and it was really frustrating to try and get a band that had instruments to go on tour with no money. Like, we
Right.
just couldn't do it. Like, nobody owned a van. But a friend of mine hooked me up with like Grand Buffet. Do you know them?
No.
Okay, they were like a hip hop group. And they were looking to do for tour dates in Canada. And I said, you guys can play in my basement in Guelph. And they showed up with this other rapper from Florida was touring with them, and it was like just the three of them in a car, right? Like, and I was like, that's how, like, that's two acts in a car, right?
Right.
The whole tour package is like in one hatchback. And they were just playing their beats off of like off of Discmans. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, that makes so much more sense. And like, that's so much, I don't know, closer to like the whole like DIY
Yeah.
indie hardcore whatever ethos that I've like grown up with. I want to do that. So that's how I started trying to make hip hop beats in the first place, 'cause I was like, oh, I can put them on a CDR and then like I could take a Greyhound bus to Vancouver or Seattle, like wherever I want to play. Just more or less like what ended up happening. It's like I did
Yeah.
like a show in my friend's living room, and then Steve Cato joined the band based on that, and then we decided that we were going to go on tour, and what we needed to go on tour was someone who had a car, so we got Greg Collins to join the band.
And that's is that is Greg your brother?
No, we just coincidentally have the same last name.
Okay, that's okay. When I was reading about that, I thought I was like, oh, he got his brother to join the band. That's cool.
Yeah,
Well,
no.
he could. Nah. Okay, well, that's funny. Same
Although,
last name.
before Greg joined the band, my actual brother drove us for like our first out of town shows. Like, I think we played a show in Guelph when we had the band at that time would have been like me, Steve, Anna, and Wolfgang. And yeah, my brother Ross drove us to Guelph to play that show.
Wow.
Like, he was like, I remember he thought it was really funny. Like, he was like, oh, this is really glamorous. You guys, like, nobody in the band has a driver's license.
So it was you were inspired by Grand Buffet's just like they you're saying they're like they would just carry like like recordings, like their own like recordings.
Yeah, they just had them on CDRs. They had the beats on CDRs and they just played it off of a Discman. Which we did until I think we did that for like up until the first tour. Mm-hmm. The first tour we went on, we were doing that. And on the first tour, we were playing in Brooklyn, and the audience was like jumping up and down too much. And we had to ask them to like stop dancing, basically, because it was making the CD player skip.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wait. And at that point, we like invested, like we had saved a bunch of band money. Mm-hmm. And we bought an iPod, like iPods back then were like the size, wow, of like a cell phone. Huge. Yeah. And we just put everything on that.
So all your live shows would just be you guys on stage, essentially just performing the lyrics, and then just the beat would play in the background.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I remember when I listened to the video in tape. I was like, there's no live instrumentation here, you know? And
yeah.
Were you guys like the only group back then? Like one of the only groups, like with the whole quintet type situation where you guys just have like a bunch of people just, you know, doing the lyrics?
There were a couple of people doing things almost like that. Like Steve was also in the Barcelona Pavilion, but they were like, they had like pre-recorded beats, mm-hmm, and then like two bass players.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So it was like largely like them being out in the audience. I think that's an important thing to state about Ninja High School from like the first show on was like very, there's a lot of contact with the audience.
Okay.
Like full contact. Yeah. Like tackling people.
Really?
Yeah. Jumping up on people's shoulders. Wow. Being body surfed. Running through the audience in general.
Yeah. It was more of like
I once did a whole set underneath the stage. Mm-hmm. I crawled underneath the stage and did the whole set from under there. What else? We did a show with just a boombox. We did a bunch of shows with just like a boombox where we'd like just go out somewhere or like a car stereo. Like if you look it up on YouTube, there's a video of us playing in a park, like a laundromat parking lot in Ames, Iowa,
mm-hmm,
where we're like, we put two cars next to each other and then like transmitted the iPod to the like a radio station on the two car stereos.
Yeah. And y'all just perform or you just busked, so they say.
You guys were just busking. That was like a show with posters.
Really? You guys were like, Ninja High School live at this laundromat. Come by.
Yeah.
And how many people would you say would show up to your shows regularly, like on average?
It depends. Like I don't know, like in Toronto or in Montreal, there'd be like hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, I don't know, in like Grand Rapids, Michigan, it'd be like 20, like.
Okay. And I'm assuming it's these shows with the hundreds of people you guys are like in there and like attacking and, or, you know, just going crazy.
Oh no, both. No matter what.
No matter like, what.
Yeah. No matter what. We were like putting on pretty like wild shows. Yeah.
And is there like, was there a certain ethos behind that or like a certain attitude like behind the whole, like, because, you know, as a performer myself, I appreciate the audience interaction element of it. I'm curious for you, what does that mean, not just to you as the performer, but like to you as an individual? Like, what does it mean to interact with the audience?
Well, okay. Like, I'd say most of my favorite live acts ever, like, spent a lot of time in the audience, mm-hmm, right? Like, there was a Toronto band called More Plastic who would, like, essentially, like, club would be destroyed, like all of their gear, everything would be demolished by the end of one of their sets,
mm-hmm,
and like not in like some like crazy negative way, but more of this like just way where it's like everyone just like, including the band, just like gave themselves over to this like rock and roll freak out premise, right?
Yeah.
So I think we were like riding on that, and I mean in Toronto at the time too, like it was like there were a lot of like people had ignored Toronto for so long, including Torontonians, that like the music scene had like, there was a lot of like really great live bands because it was like you had to like, if you were going to open for someone or like even if you were just playing a show, you had to like really grab the audience. Like there was people like Corpus. If you look Corpus up, there's a documentary about him. It's like this like just giant guy would wear makeup, and he had like below his shoulders length hair that he would like gel up into a point.
What?
Yeah.
That's a lot of gel.
And yeah, and he like more or less sort of like splits his time between sort of like opera singing and yelling these like really funny songs about being broke. But it's like terrifying too, because
Right.
it's like, I don't know. Yeah. Or like, I don't know, more, even some of the more popular bands, like the hidden cameras had like, you know, dancers. Like it was almost like giving like instructions to the audience as to like what to do. And definitely like the sort of like Blocks Recording Club and sort of circle of bands that around that was all people with like very unique approaches, where it was like, it was even like at the time it was starting to get kind of harder to like book club shows. So there was a lot of like house shows and weird loft shows happening. And yeah, like Ninja High School was like an attempt to like cut into that excitement, like that energy, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that explains a lot. Would there ever be any serious injuries sustained from these kind of things? Like anyone broke any arms? Anything like that?
I jumped off a speaker stack onto the crowd once and thought I was fine. But the next day I was like, oh, I think I broke my ribs. And I went to the hospital and they were like, I just had like an inflamed ligament.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
But so
Which is
nothing
like, that's
broken,
still
but
really painful. Yeah.
yeah.
And then another time I made the audience all like get really close together so I could try to lift them. And I'm not saying I lifted them, but like it felt like I lifted them. And then the next day, like my back was just toast.
Wow.
Like, oh, and another time I got knocked out for like 2 seconds. I got headbutted by Steve and I was like,
While performing?
yeah, like there's like a gap. And then I remember getting hit, and then I remember lying on my back and I was like, I don't know, like half a verse ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you remember what song you were performing?
I think it was Catholic Fashion,
Okay.
but I'm not sure.
That makes sense. I love that. That track's so good. That's a great track. I can definitely see someone getting knocked out to that one. I also really quick, I wanted to ask you, take me back for a second. Can you talk a little bit more about currently in these United States?
Oh yeah. So it was like I was attending lots of like math rock and sort of like late 90s emo shows and garage shows and math rock shows. And but I was also like, I personally saw my musical career at that time like being like going into like noise or like free improv music, right? Like I wanted to make like more experimental music and post rock sort of ideas. And sorry, my 1-year-old keeps coming in.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
You're fine.
But it's hard to explain how it happened. It was like I was like home recording a lot of stuff with my friends, and then the whole time I was home recording with them, I had like sort of like written this like batch of songs that sort of had like sardonic lyrics. And like lots of riff changes. And I was like, okay, let's be a band to so like the people who had sort of recorded the most with me. And they were like, okay, like expecting it to be this like quieter experimental thing. And then we like got into the thing and I was like playing these like demented, like Captain Beefhearty,
Oh, nice.
like weird, like, and I sing like Steve Malkmus. So it's like, it was weird. And we played like, yeah, we just started like playing out like as often as we could, and like just we acted like real punks about it, I think. And got like this rep for being like sort of like loud, like kind of confrontational live.
So that's where the whole getting confrontational with the audience started was in that band.
Oh no, I mean ages before that. Like I
Oh,
had,
okay, for sure, I got you.
yeah. I shouldn't say this on the radio. I had a noise band when I was in high school and into college, where we would do things like, I hope my kids don't hear this. We'd like light fireworks and point them at the
Oh
audience and
my
things like that.
God. Oh
Yeah.
my God. Wouldn't one consider that to be extremely dangerous?
Oh, for sure. Like once, oh my God. One time we poured like a ring of rubber cement around an audience. This is like in an abandoned brick factory, sort of in the east end of Toronto. It was like an art event that we'd been asked to perform at. The band was called Missile Command. And we put a ring of rubber cement around the audience and then lit it on fire so that they were like inside this ring of fire. And then we started throwing, lighting cherry bombs and throwing them at their feet
Oh
to
my
make them.
God.
I say all this stuff makes me sound like some kind of psychopath, but it was
No, no,
like.
no, 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 no. This is definitely like I've heard some very interesting things that shows go down before. Don't worry.
Yeah.
This sounds pretty rational and sane to me, to be completely honest with you.
Really, it was just like kind of like record nerdy stuff, right? Because it was like, oh, we wanted to be like Throbbing Gristle or the Butthole Surfers,
Right,
and we had
right.
like read that they had done these things.
Yeah.
So we were just trying to like ape that sort of behavior, but like ramp it up a little. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Okay.
So, I also want to ask about the name currently in these United States, considering you're from Canada. What was the theme behind the band in regards politically?
I can't say it wasn't political, but the band name, like, I don't know, I would have started using it in like 1998. Like Clinton was president, like not a lot was happening. Things weren't very political back then. I mean, they were, but they weren't like not like now.
Right.
'Cause I remember we were playing a show on September 11th, 2001. We played a show at the Art College in Toronto. I don't know why the show wasn't canceled. Like everyone was just shell-shocked.
Yeah.
And like I remember overhearing someone go like, "Are they trying to make some kind of statement?" And like being like, "We might have to change our band name."
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see the
Think I just
confusion.
got it out of a book though. I think I just saw the phrase in a book and liked it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a
And
way
we
to
all of our song titles were really long, like paragraph long song titles.
Really?
Yeah,
You guys
'cause
ever
like
release?
post rock and math rock bands had pretty long song titles, so we were sort of like trying to like out long the song titles, but like they were also all really ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like really ridiculous and like yeah.
Did you guys ever release anything?
We put out one. I mean, like yes and no. Like it was all like the biggest, the most ambitious thing we ever did was a CDR. Like there was three 90-minute tapes and four CDRs worth of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I can send you a MediaFire link to all that too.
That would be fantastic. I would love to hear it. I would love to
I'm
hear it.
missing about like 3 hours of it. Like I don't have two of the 90-minute tapes.
Okay. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Whatever you have, I would love to hear it. Whatever you
Oh
can
yeah,
send
sure.
me. Yeah, that'd be awesome. So that okay, that answers that last question. And also just really quick, I'm in school right now. I'm an art major in
Oh,
at UC
nice.
Santa Cruz. Yeah, and I'm just curious for you. I read online, I'm not trying to accuse you of anything, but I read online that you dropped you, you oh you told me you just told me sorry you dropped out of art school, and I want to ask why you did that.
Gonna sound crazy again. My thesis in my final year like just wasn't going over. Like I sort of hit like a brick wall with it, and it was these the idea was like a play on sort of armchair generals, where I was gonna like attach motors and wheels to armchairs, but then like give them like flamethrowers and swinging chainsaw arms to like make them fight each other.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, the logistics of that are very like more
Yeah.
ambitious, I think,
Yeah.
than like
Yeah.
an undergrad thesis can sustain.
So because of that, you're like, I don't really, this isn't for me and I can't do this. So you decide just to leave.
I was just like, I would rather focus on music right now. 'Cause like, right before Ninja High School split up, I went back, and it was fine.
So you finished. You went back and
Yeah.
finished. Oh, okay. All
Yeah.
right. So this segues fairly nicely. And now I just want to, now I just want to talk about Ninja High School just right now. Like, I just want to focus on Ninja High School. I want to get like the whole shindig. So I just want to know like how did it start? Like literally, how did it start?
Okay. I was r really trying to make like hip hop beats or like some kind of like electronic music. Like I had for years up to that point like been like messing around with Casio SK1s, like just trying to like make I have a lot of tapes of me like trying to make music with Casio SK1s. And like a turntable like so I ended up doing a couple of shows in Guelph where it was like I had like a turntable and the SK1 and like a Walkman plugged into the SK1 to like make beats, like loops of drums and stuff, and then like scratch the records on top of them and like run it through delay pedals and like get dubby and weird. But I didn't know what to put my name on the poster for the show as, and so I said Ninja High School. Based on the Toronto area code, 647 spells out like NHS.
Oh, and then you're just like, and then you just looked at that
What
and
does
you
that
said,
stand for, right? Like
yeah.
National Health Service?
Okay, so I was gonna ask, 'cause you know Ninja High School is like an actual like anime slash show. I just tried to find it, and it just I kept finding like an anime. Like
Yeah,
just
it's
you
like a
had did,
comic book. We got a
yeah.
lot of emails. We used to get a lot of emails from angry fans of the comic book. They would tell us that the creator was going to sue us and stuff, and it was like, I don't think he cares.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. So
Yeah.
that was definitely coincidental. That's pretty funny. That's pretty throughout the time though, did Ninja High School, I know it was like kind of just like random at first, but did it ever like take up a meaning for you? Like did it ever start to form a meaning for you or represent something bigger?
I don't know. Like, it was like sort of like a Sonic Youth sort of thing where it's like, it almost like represents some sort of like weird ideal. Yeah. That's about, I mean, there were times where I'd wish we had called ourselves something else because it's such a like a ridiculous band name. But it's also fun to say. Like, it pops up in the song lyrics a lot. Like, in a like, I think at the time I was like thinking of it like a John Spencer Blues Explosion thing where like a good rule for like a John Spencer Blues Explosion album is how many times he says blues explosion. Right. And so it was fun to say NHS or Ninja High School. Like it's like a fun thing to say a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I see that. So it's okay, for sure. Now what I want to do is I'm going to say the first name of every member that I could find, and I just want you to tell me a little bit about them and then what they're up to now, as far as you're
Okay.
aware. All right. So I'm going to start with Gregory.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's like a computer programmer. He's got a computer science degree from Yale.
Oh, nice.
He worked for
Prestigious.
Google for a while and like lived in San Francisco and in Switzerland.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big moves from Greg. And what did he
Yeah.
do in the band? Was he just another vocalist?
He actually he owned Ableton on his computer, so like the shift in the quality of the beats has a lot to do with like him and I working together, because he could like better structure the songs, like throw in like little details that I wouldn't ordinarily think of. He's like way better at mixing. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right, next I have Adrian.
Sort of like the mystical, like the human embodiment of like what the band was about. Like actually doesn't he was there for a lot of the recordings and like did some guidance on sample choices, but I wish I still had it, but we did a French radio show once where they like just we had to do the fill out the whole hour ourselves and then they would play it. And I think that's the only time we ever recorded him on the mic.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's kind of like a mascot almost.
Yeah, and he is the younger brother of Anna, who was like the first person, really the first person to join the band.
Okay. Is she Star DT?
No. Star
Okay.
DT replaced her. Star was Anna's best friend, and Anna moved to California. She lives in Oakland.
Okay.
When she moved to Oakland, Star took her spot. Like that was right before the first tour, and then Star's on the like both records, and then did the first tour with us, and then she moved to Vancouver, and she got replaced by Whitney, who's Greg's now wife's best friend.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and Whitney was only supposed to drive us, and when we got to the first stop, which was Ottawa, I was like, "You're gonna take the mic, right?" And she did. It was like she was really good on stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was Whitney on YAAS?
No, she's on a couple songs on the Terminator mixtape.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And Star DT did.
Yeah, she's on vocals for like Anna's on vocals on We Win. Star does all the vocals on Young Adults. And
Was
then
she
Whitney after that.
one of the vocalists on the chorus for jam band Death Cult?
Yes.
Okay, so that's okay. Yeah, her voice stands out a lot on that album. So I'm glad now I know who that is speaking. And
You
you
know what? I was
mentioned.
recently walking in the block of the city where I wrote that chorus. And like I remember the exact moment, like I was like walking by this like Swiss chalet and like remembered like, oh yeah, like this, like I remember singing it to myself and like being like, I hope I can remember this when I get home. And then I was like, I doubt this is gonna work out. And then Greg like did like a double vocal of it. Like we lived together at the time, and he did a double vocal of it in the studio that we had in the basement. And it was like, it's just like so perfect. And I was like, okay, we gotta play a show like right away, so we can perform this song.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, that chorus is infectious. It's crazy how I'll sing it. I'll find myself just singing it as I'm walking. I'm like, shut the fuck up, because this is what's up. Because this is what's up. We know, but, like all that. And my friends show it to me, and then sometimes I'll be hearing them sing it. And I'm just stroking your ego a little bit. It's a great track, and it's
Oh,
my
thanks.
it's my favorite one off the album. And then you said Whitney. You mentioned Whitney was just gonna drive you, and then she ended up kind of joining by being
Yeah.
the driver.
Yeah, she was like amazing live. It's like really great. Like she'd be on that Vancouver show that you've got. Star and Whitney should be on that.
The
Yeah.
live in broadcast one.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask more questions about the live in because I'm curious about a few things about that one. But the next person I have is Catherine.
Oh yeah, she has a first novel out. I can't remember what it's called. She's like a novelist.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and what's she doing in the band?
It's just more vocals.
For sure.
She's not really on any of the recordings. She didn't come on tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Steve. I have Steve here.
Yeah, Steve Cato. He's like a world traveling artist.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you
He
like.
also put out he's put out some records under the name The Blanket, and he was in the Barcelona Pavilion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then what contributions did he make to the band?
Mostly vocals, a lot of creative direction. Like, he would edit lyrics a lot of the time. He would like give like stern disapproval to some beats, and they would just never get used.
Okay. And it's just like tossed away into the vault
Yeah.
forever. Okay.
Into the ether.
And then now I have Wolfgang Nessel, as mentioned before.
Yeah, he's our dancer.
Y'all have a designated dancer
Yeah.
for shows and stuff. He just like did, was he would he go in the audience and just kind of do his thing?
Yeah. Be up on stage. Yeah.
Wow. Would he go the hardest,
He
would you
was one of
say?
the first people to join the band as well. He was like the it would have been like Anna, Steve, Wolfgang, Greg. I think that was the order.
Wow. And so he didn't, you're saying he didn't do anything with audio at all?
Nothing.
Wow. So he was literally just there for like just dancing.
Yeah.
I love
He's
that.
like, you can hear him in some of the like group yelling and stuff on the album. You can hear him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next up I have a Craig.
Yeah, he would pass us a lot of he worked at a record store and he would pass us lots of things we wanted for samples, and then we would like
For
give it
sure.
back. It's like borrowing. One time
Dude,
we
wow.
on Shake It Off, there's that weird sample, the like Jefferson Davis
Yeah, okay,
thing.
I was actually on a question. Yeah, tell me more about that one.
That's from a record my brother owned called Battle Stereo.
Battle Stereo?
Yeah. And we were I we I really wanted to put it on. I thought it would be like a really great thing to throw on the beginning and end of the song. These sort of like stabs, where I was like, so we phoned him and asked him to bring it over, and he made us give him $50 just to drive it over to the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was your just like record guy?
Yeah.
Wow. What a man. Without Craig, we wouldn't have such great samples in the tracks.
He does a bit of singing on We Win. Like you can hear his voice on We Win a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I want to ask, what was like the first like group track where like everyone who like did music, or I mean who did like the singing and like all that, like what was like the first track where you guys all recorded and all sang on it?
Probably NHS is gonna rock you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for you guys,
I
is
remember
what?
that being the first track that. So, the first four songs I wrote were It's Gonna Be Us, These Ideas Kill, Oh Yeah, All Right, and Amaze Me. And like that was the first set I ever did, was just those four songs. And then
Gotcha.
like I think I did three shows of those and then wrote Rock You. And the first time we performed Rock You, like the whole, it was like sort of like the first show I was like opening for someone like at a club. And the audience went like berserk when that one came on.
Wow.
Yeah, we opened up with that one and the audience went like berserk. And it was like, all right, like, okay, if we're like do more of these like party things, I
Yeah.
guess. Like, yeah.
And so you guys like the way you would like hand out, so because We Win was like a mixtape, right? Like by today's terms, like it's like a mixtape, right? It's not like a full release. It's just kind of something. Did you guys like actually just have physical copies and just like hand it out, or did you guys have a deal, or what was going on with the production?
No, we like I like saved up money. I worked in a wood shop at the time and I saved up money for 2 months. We recorded it all with like whatever we had owned, but then we pressed it at like a proper pressing plant like out in the suburbs. Yeah, it was like 500. No. We got 500 copies for I don't know, like just over $1,000.
Wow.
Like they were to like $2 and change a piece. And then we hand silk screened all the covers and then folded them like.
Wow, that's really cool. Like you guys, that's really cool. You guys did it all yourself. I
Yeah.
love the DIY attitude going. And did you guys just like hand it to your friends and stuff? Just kind of give it out?
No, we sold them at shows.
Oh, for sure. Okay.
That was like the impetus of the first tour was like to like go.
And just make that money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get as many of them out there as possible. Also, I had zero money at the time, so I was like really determined,
I
like it was a big
understand.
investment for me.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. I definitely feel that. Do you remember your first show you guys played? Like the first NHS show?
Like as a band or
Yeah,
like as
as a band.
I think I remember all the shows and I remember probably most of them in the right order is that it was like so I played in my friend's living room. And then I played at the basis of the living room show went so well that he gave me another show in his living room.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And by that show, like Anna and Steve had joined. And that was the one where Wolfgang joined probably. And then that second show went so well that like there was a booker in the audience who gave me like a shot opening for my friends. Like it was for Grand Buffet and Bluebird, who I was already friends with. And we did that one. That one went really well. That got us another gig opening for Jim Guthrie at Sneaky D's, which would have been the show where we introduced Rock You. So we were like
Nice.
doing these like, I mean, the beats on the CD were long enough and like enough shenanigans was sort of happening that like it didn't matter that like a beat would be playing for like 6 or 7 minutes. Yeah. And then after that, I remember we had written a new song. We really wanted to perform it. So we convinced this like DJ friend of ours to let us perform it at his DJ night. And that was like our first press. Like the first time anybody wrote about us was in like the Now magazine, like Toronto's sort of like local entertainment paper. Yeah. Yeah, we got like a blurb where like the guy who like goes out to DJ nights and like reviewed DJ nights was like, oh yeah, this band, I guess they're a band, Ninja High School performed. He was like, felt a lot like hardcore punk was happening. Yeah. And then trying to remember, it was like Greg just sort of like he helped me make a beat like to show me Ableton, and then we had like applied some lyrics to the beat, and then he was just like, okay, I'm in the band now. Like he just sort of like in his head joined. But I think that was like a number of shows later, because like we're talking about like a space where we like had songs. And then, like all of a sudden, like the whole recording happened and stuff. And in that span of time, we like sort of like had like this like really fast rise to doing shows we wanted to do, like opening for Numbers and stuff, where it was like big deal shows. Yeah.
So, and also just 'cause I just want to ask, 'cause I'm an aspiring artist of sorts. So the way and like kind of like you're trying to get an idea for like trying to get shows and stuff like that. The way like hearing you describe it, it's kind of just like go out, do your thing, wherever, and people will notice, and you'll just kind of naturally find your ways through. Would you consider yourself like lucky in that sense, or do you think it's just like no, it's kind of like what happens?
Well, okay. I think the experience with currently in the United States was lucky. And it certainly didn't feel lucky. For like that band was around for 3 years or so, and like the first two thirds of it felt like a constantly just fighting to get like any recognition at all. So like, and Ninja High School was like immediately after that, right? So it was like I was already like had like kind of like a following locally to sort of build off of. Yeah, and people were going to shows, which was like that made a big difference.
Yeah,
Like
definitely.
Broken Social Scene had happened and like Peaches. So people were going to shows because they didn't, everybody wants to be at like to see like the next Broken Social Scene before they become big, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
There was like a real
That's an
sense that
interesting.
something was going on. Yeah.
For sure. Cool. I that was just a kind of a sidetrack. I was just more curious about like the way that sort of thing worked. But now I want to talk about Young Adults Against Suicide. And I think where I want to start is with the name, Young Adults Against Suicide.
Yeah.
Why that name?
Well, I mean, we've positioned ourselves like against a lot of like sort of very depressive acts. Also it sounded a lot like a posse hardcore title, like something that like, like a youth crew band would name an album. But I mean, it's also like all the talk about fighting and everything on that, it's like really about like survival, I mean, not to take the interview in like any kind of a like dark direction,
Oh,
but
no, you're
like,
totally fine.
yeah, I like I've struggled with trauma like most of my life. So I think a lot of that, a lot of the lyrics on Ninja High School are like coming from a place of like trying to like sift through these like very like difficult feelings that I had about myself, and like trying to like apply them to the world outside to like to feel more positive about my own situation, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's all, I definitely empathize with you. I've also experienced my share of trauma in my life as well. And I definitely think that's why I gravitated towards this album so much. You know, just like reading,
Oh,
like,
for
first,
sure.
yeah, the first thing I read, I was like, Young Adults Against Suicide. I was like, oh, okay, nice, you know. I can, like, that's definitely like something that comes across very clearly when you put it that way. And, you know, just saying thank you, really, because,
Oh, thanks.
yeah, like, you did a great job in being able to, like, harness that energy of fighting through something that's, it feels like beyond yourself, right? All these kind of things
Yeah.
feel like, they feel like beyond you, like you can't control them. But in the reality, you are in control of them, it just doesn't feel like it. And I
Yeah.
think, yeah, like, especially Catholic Fashion, It's All Right to Fight, Fever Stream, like, all those tracks really, like, kind of capture, like, just plowing through it, just like saying fuck it, you know, like just
Yeah.
living. It's like kind of like living another day almost. Each, it's like,
Yeah.
all right, this is today and here's tomorrow, and it feels like it's a whole day, you know. It starts with good night, I mean, starts with good morning, ends with good night, you know. It's like
Yeah.
throughout the whole day, which I
There was like
also,
a
yeah.
real feeling the whole way through Ninja High School too, where it was like when I was in currently the United States, I felt like, oh, this has to succeed. And in Ninja High School, I was just like, what if I just decide that it's already succeeding before I start? Like it's already we like that's like the We Win as an album title, right? Like it's
Right,
just
right.
like, yeah. Or like It's Gonna Be Us. Like that song is like about like being like, oh no, like this is the driver's seat, right? Like yeah.
sorry. It's on my throat. But yes, yeah. I think, you know, it's like tracks like that, as you're saying, you know, like it brings it together. I was just curious because I was also looking at the album cover. I mean, the album on Spotify, and Good Night is not on there. I don't know, was that taken off?
Yeah, so before that album came out, we got signed to Tomlab, who put out a 7-inch of By Purpose, Not By Plan, and It's All Right to Fight. The way they sound like on at live shows, like
Right.
those are the we made remixes of it for the album. And we submitted album artwork that they didn't like, and then we submitted the album to them and they did not like Good Night. They didn't even really want to put Good Morning or Nap on.
Because those are
Like
like
they
interlude,
felt
those
like,
are interlude tracks for sure.
yeah.
They're like instrumental interlude tracks. Yeah, I listened to Goodnight. I was like, oh, there's nothing happening. And, but then, you know, it's like, because it's like vocally, I'm like, it's all ambience. I'm like, oh, like that's
Yeah.
not. I thought the track like ended the album. Like when I listened to the album you sent me, like the version, I thought it wrapped it up very nicely. Like
Yeah.
it was like,
Yeah,
it
it's like a
makes so much
complete thing.
sense. Yeah, it makes
Yeah.
so much sense the way it's just like now it's quiet. It's like going to bed
Yeah.
almost. It's just like you're like laying down trying to fall asleep after all this noise.
Yeah.
Like at the end where it's like shit piss motherfucker, like all the cuss out at the
Yeah.
end. I was like oh, this makes sense. It's just like I can't fucking sleep, you know. It's like I can't. I thought it's a shame really that it was taken off.
Listen to it on headphones? Because
Yeah, these boys right here.
the
yeah
like bass drone like
yeah
gets so
yeah
and that's just compression. Like we're just
yeah
compressing it. So it feels like it's getting
jeez.
louder, but it's not.
Yeah, no, I definitely did notice that.
Yeah, Tomlab didn't like it, and so and they didn't like our cover art idea. So the Blocks version that we put out in Canada, like, came out in our original packaging idea, where it's like a file folder with card where every song title is on an individual card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the CD was made to look like a Sloan album, and and then the front cover is like these like a family like staring into the sun, right?
The are you talking about the current album that's like out? Like the artwork that's like official for it?
I think the official artwork is the on Spotify is the Tomlab art,
Yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
yeah.
With
Yeah,
like the
yeah.
colors, like
Yeah,
the
with
people,
the
yeah.
with the people, like one's by like the
Praying,
communist.
they're all praying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was curious about the album artwork, which would be my next question. Looking here is so who first of all, who made this? Who is behind this one?
I
It's
drew that.
you drew this?
Yeah.
Good job. I like it. I also wanted to ask, like, was it, because it's like commonly, oh, what does it mean? But to me, when I first saw it, I thought like of a political scale, like one of those where it's like authoritarian right, authoritarian left, like all this. Like, is that what it is, kind of, or is it totally like, is that just missing it?
A bit, yeah, but I think it's like also like trying to like wrap in like aspects of like late capitalism and like digital nativism, right? Like things I would have been like deeply worried about at the time. I mean, I still am, but like not the same way.
And the top left is the is like the communist is it the hammer and sickle, that's it.
Yeah.
Was that like you trying to reconcile with like what your political affiliation was? Like you're like, how, like, I'm left, like, am I a communist, that type of thing?
No, I think it was like more like trying to accuse like Marxist-Leninism of being like a like almost a like religious orthodoxy where there's like there's no good comes from it.
I see, I see.
Yeah.
And then, so is that like the same thing with like the pill? Is it like how medicine is kind of like it's seen as like prescription medicine? Is it like a commentary on that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, sort of like this idea of like having faith in something to like let it run your life for you, I guess, you know, rather than like I because I mean, I don't even think then I wouldn't have been opposed to like one of my best friends then like had a lithium prescription that she definitely needed, you know. So it wasn't like I was like nobody do drugs because like if you know if it helps you make it through the day, then like that's fine, right? Like that's great.
But would you say is it kind of like people who abuse it more like? Is that where you're kind of putting it?
Yeah, that's like a way of putting it. Yeah, like as like a substitute for like
Joy.
actually, yeah, for joy. Yeah, exactly. Jouissance. Yeah.
Right. And then on the bottom half, we have the baseball, and then we have the Game Boy.
Oh yeah. Sports and video games.
Very interesting, like a clear dichotomy there, right?
It's missing the back cover. Like on the back cover there's like a business person praying to a dollar sign. Like a crust punk praying to an anarchy symbol.
I think I found it right here. Yeah, I'm looking at the
Yeah,
image
there's
on
like
it. I
two
found it.
more.
Oh wow,
Yeah.
I've never seen this. I have never seen this. Because the one at the radio station was covered up on the back of it for some
Oh,
reason.
really?
It was missing it, yeah. So, yeah, I've never seen this. This is crazy. Whoa. Holy shit, I've never seen this. Yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah, there's a crucifix right there, and there's looks like a middle-aged man, an
Yeah.
anarchist, and like the punk, and then the hip-hop, and like the b-boy, and then the businesswoman, and then
Yeah,
the
yeah.
baseball. I see. Okay, this makes a lot more clear. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All I had in my head was the front cover. I'd never seen this back cover. This is really cool. This is really
Yeah.
cool. Okay, fantastic. Where was I? Oh yes. So, where do those themes that you're discussing just now fit into the album?
Well, if you parse through the lyrics, it's like there's a lot of sort of like Deluso-Guitarian like anarchist themes happening.
Yeah.
It's so like I was really like determined like to try and like live my life and create my art like based on like this like with things like deterritorialization like in mind, right? Like and I mean I still to a certain extent like I like the idea that like chiefly the problem in like Western society is that we demand leadership, right? It's like you constantly need a king, right? Like I think that pops up a lot lyrically. Other big themes that would have been on there would have been like like criticizing like everybody else in the indie scene for liking music I didn't like. And yeah, it's like more of a way of bragging and like getting little pot shots in. What else is in there? There's some like anti-colonial themes in some of the songs, like Invasion Party for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Like efforts to make the personal political, that happens a fair bit. Like I think largely though, it's like about like this sort of like that like Mille Plateaux like deterritorialization thing. Like that's what like By Purpose Not By Plan's about that. Jam Band Death Cult's largely about that. Although Jam Band Death Cult is also like mostly about Devendra Banhart. Like I really couldn't stand him. So it's like really anti. Yeah.
Speaking of death, I always forget Jam Band Death Cult. There's a line, this is like my favorite line on the whole album. I just want to ask you about it. It says, "The weight of the world is a mighty stone atop the richest mountains where the titans roam." Is that like the sense of like the everyone feeling they need like some sort of leader and like we need
Oh yeah.
people
And then
to.
like tying it back to like the Titans from Greek mythology, right?
Right.
Yeah. They
Yeah.
have Olympus before the gods do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing I was curious about is how did you write all your lyrics? That's the first thing. It's like how'd you write them?
With a pen in a notebook. I
Okay.
carried a notebook around all the time. Yeah.
But like the things when you like, because when I read these, it's just like, it's like different, like so many things flying at you at one time. Is that how it would kind of come to you, and then that's how you like reciprocate it back? Or would it be more methodical thinking and then just like you just throw it all out at once?
No, like the lyrics largely took like a long, long-ish time to write like an entire song. Like lots of lyrics are being written concurrently,
Okay.
where I would like write sections. And then I had to like figure out what sections would like fit together and then like edit them together.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes
Yeah.
sense. Okay. Also, another thing is, are you ever going to go on genius.com and add in annotations and lyrics for all the songs on there? Because it's kind of sad looking at it now. It's like only like 9 tracks, and they're not like, I'm looking at Jam Band Death Cult. It's not even finished, and it's not even like formatted. Will you ever go back and do that? Ever fix that if you want to?
I don't know if I can. Like I on Twitter I've made a lot of fun of the annotations on Pavement songs.
Feel that, because the way Pavement writes is super like just kind of like off the cuff almost.
Yeah. There's it's not just those ones. There's like unbelievable. Like I think Closing Time is on there. I have like
Closing
and I
Time,
was just like really like
yeah, no, I've definitely read the one for Closing Time. That's pretty notorious. That's pretty
Yeah.
notorious. It's like it's supposed to represent the end of. It's like no, nah, they just want to leave the bar. Like literally, that's all the song's about, dude. No, I feel that.
Yeah,
Were
they
they?
knew that this song would get played at like cl exactly closing time at every bar for an entire year.
Oh man, yeah, no, totally. And is that kind of like your attitude towards people like overanalyze lyrics? Would that did you ever feel like you're making kind of
Oh
like
no, 'cause like I sit around like I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what like Guided by Voices lyrics mean and things
yeah.
or like Raekwon lyrics.
Oh my god, yeah. I have a friend who says that Guided by Voices is like the Beatles that no one ever listened to. He said like
Yeah,
they're
that
just
sounds
as
about right.
timeless. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried listening to them, and like sometimes I'm a little bit, I don't know, like it takes me a few tries to get into something. Like I try listening to a lot of them, I was just
It's
like,
all about
no.
the right in. Like I would say Alien Lanes and B-1000 is like a good that's a good pair of albums to start with.
Alien Lanes and B1000.
Yeah.
All right,
Those are like breakout albums.
I'm on my Spotify right now. I got you. I'm adding them right
Yeah.
now. All right, cool. And then I do want to talk more
And then
about
listen to them as like a full album.
for
It's
sure,
like
of
listen to it
course,
like
of course,
yeah,
of
because it
course.
like the way it bleeds together and stuff like and the fidelity changes, it's really great.
For sure, I'll be sure to take a listen to it. So hopping off the lyrics, where was I? I had the. You already told me about the production, and then. all that. Let me see. Sorry about that. Oh, here's one. What was like your favorite track? Like, just like, what's your favorite track off the album? Like, either a favorite to record or even listen to, anything.
Probably Jam Band Death Cult.
Yeah.
Or I really like Invasion Party Stop Lying. Like, I feel like really pulled that one off somehow.
Yeah, because Chart Magazine said
yeah.
about your album, you know, it was like thoughtful, catchy, and for a lo-fi recording sounding awesome, but they also went on to call Invasion Party like hands down one of the best tracks of the year. When you heard that, were you just like, fuck yeah, like yeah, like yeah.
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 Although a lot of them are gone, but there used to be a lot more bad reviews that were like really great. Like someone called my voice nails on a chalkboard for the 21st century. That was good. There was another one. It was like it's like some Norwegian fanzine said that we sounded like the Beastie Boys on expired drugs. It's like, that's great.
That's pretty funny. And so you're saying none of these like survived. I haven't seen these. And I've dived.
I think a lot of stuff's just like gone offline. Like, because people say things that are online are forever, but it's like, yeah, only as long as someone's paying for the server space, right? Like,
that's true. That's true. Sometimes people will take things. It also depends on like.
Like all those pictures of me on MySpace are gone. In my diary land, that's done. Doesn't exist anymore.
It's only there forever. One person saves it.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be out there still, but you just wouldn't know. On someone's hard drive, just hiding, ready to like pounce back up on you.
That's gonna keep me up.
Now you totally, this one you totally do not have to answer if you don't want to, but considering punk scenes and drugs go pretty hand in hand, did you guys ever like? I'm basically just asking, did you guys ever do drugs? And then if you did that ever become like a problem for like the band as a whole?
No, I mean, we were all just smoked a lot of pot.
For sure.
I mean, that's never been a problem.
Never.
We were like, we were, as a group, we were like, we felt like a gang because we were all like uniformly like anti-cocaine, like really anti-cocaine. Mm-hmm. There's some interview with us. Was it Dusted? I think it was in Dusted. Like that website, and like we spent like half the interview like just bashing cocaine use. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Fuck cocaine. It sucks, right?
Yeah, cocaine's awful. I've never done cocaine, and I never plan on doing cocaine. I've only seen what it does to other people, and I'm like, I don't. I can live without that.
Yeah.
I'm on that fuck cocaine movement. Believe me, I'm right there with you. And then my final question about NHS. Is how did you guys split up?
Sort of like touring is very psychologically difficult, I think. I don't think we ever like figured out a way to like be in each other's space without like really driving each other crazy. Mm-hmm. There were some other like just sort of like general interpersonal things happening. Mm-hmm. And then so that was like bubbling under the surface, and then we lost like a hard drive with like an album on it.
Right I remember.
And it was just like, it's like impossible to recover from.
Yeah definitely, that could be incredibly discouraging, losing so much work.
Yeah
like that's kind of hard to bounce back from. So just naturally you guys are just kind of like done with it.
Yeah, and done with each other in a lot of ways, right? Like, I don't think, I was as sick of other people as maybe people were of me, and like, I think, you know, fair. Like, I was like, you know, probably being difficult and insufferable. It's like part of why I went back to school, you know. And so, we all just like stopped doing it.
For sure.
My wife just busted in to tell me to be positive about myself.
Oh, it's all good. You guys did like a reunion show, right?
Yeah, it was like the Blocks, the label that we sort of helped found in Toronto, was a co-op, like a cooperative workers co-op. And so it decided to close, like to dissolve the co-op. And so there was a show with a bunch of bands that had been on Blocks, like Owen Pallett and Barcelona Pavilion played, Hank, et cetera. And we played the first set of the day so that my 2-year-old could come see us at the time. He was.
That's nice. So your child got to come see you perform live as a Ninja High School.
Yeah.
Did you throw him in the like? Did you just like pick him up? I'm like, yeah, just get in that spirit or anything? No, I'm
No,
joking.
he was really shy and wanted to like stay at the back.
No, I don't blame him. I
He's
don't
wearing
blame him.
headphones.
Yeah, I can imagine it would get pretty loud. Maybe a little scary for a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Did you guys keep up that energy even for that reunion show? The same old energy, or is it a little different?
I remember being surprised how quickly we all felt winded. And then one of my friends, like, we used to have this move where there was like a pause in a song, and I'd be like, everybody get down, like as low as possible. And a friend of mine joked, he was like, yeah, back in the day, everybody would be like, poof, like down. And now everybody's like, okay, just give me a, this is far enough. This is, I'm going, this is as far down as I'm going.
That's funny. I also want to ask you, did someone really throw a hot dog at you when you were performing live at Video Inn?
Yeah.
Did you eat it?
No, because I was lying on the ground. I had had some bad sushi.
Oh yes, I
So I
remember
was
hearing that.
like, yeah.
Did
That's a real thing that happened,
perform
yeah.
laying down?
Yeah, my stomach really hurt.
I understand.
Yeah.
Understandable.
I kept sitting up. Like, I was trying to, like, put on as good a show as I could.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're being well received at that show?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I couldn't like it was kind of hard for me to tell because imagining someone throwing a hot dog, like I'm like, come on, dude, you can't show that. You can't be that disrespectful. But as I'm getting more context, I'm feeling like, oh, maybe that's part of it, you know?
Well, we were friends with this like this hardcore crew out there called the Rain City Beatdown Crew. So they were at that show. They even came, all of them came to Toronto once to see us play, and were like, yeah, like they were big fans.
Sorry. That's good. That was a very fun listen, and I also thanks for sending that to me, because it's kind of a shame because I'll never get to see a NHS show live, but just being able to hear it, I was like, this is really cool, because.
There's some videos. There's a DVD of two shows, like both in people's living rooms. That's pretty good.
Do you have
And
that DVD?
I can see if I've got a copy. It's probably in my storage space.
Understandable.
Yeah.
I will buy it, or at least I will pay for an extraction of
I
the
can
file.
email you who to ask for it.
Okay, for sure. Because
Yeah.
I would love to get my hands on it. That'll be incredible. I'm gonna, yeah. I'll make sure you get. I'm gonna get that DVD. Just you wait, Matt. I'm gonna get the DVD.
And then there's also like if you go on WFMU's website, I'll see if I can find the link and I'll send it to you. There's like a, actually let me look right now. There's a like oops. Here it is. There's a like WFMU where do I type here? I'll send it to you on Twitter.
Okay, sounds good.
We did a live set on WFMU like on our first tour, and it's in there in that playlist somewhere. Someone showed me how to make it an MP3 and I didn't think about it again.
And it just got a rocky. Look there. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, cool. I'm definitely bookmarking this. All right.
And it's like got a, yeah, well, it's got rarities. It's got I Love World, which was never properly released. And it's got the version of It's Gonna Be Us has this like sample of the piano from Clocks by Coldplay. And on
That's
that first
cool.
tour, we had done this trick where we would open with It's Gonna Be Us and then end with the other version of It's Gonna Be Us. So it was like a very theatrical, complete package. Yeah.
That's super cool. That's super cool. Wow. Were there any other like songs that were just like besides the album that was lost, was there any other just like really nuanced versions of songs you already recorded, just like It's Gonna Be Us with the Coldplay Clocks? Is there anything else like that?
No, not really.
Okay, so it was just that one song?
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, like there's some other like weird songs that aren't on recording. So like I think In the Jeans. I think we put that on the Terminator mixtape though. We also had one that I don't have a copy of at all called Don't Die. And
I like the name.
yeah, it was like a really quick verse. So it's like it's really fast verse with a lot of words and then just a chorus out. That's as long as the verse. So the song itself was like a minute and a half long or something, like 2 minutes.
For sure. And you're
Yeah.
saying it was just like lost.
I don't think we ever recorded it. I don't know. There might be a
Oh,
demo of it somewhere, but
for
like
sure.
we like just did it at shows.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, now we're just gonna leave NHS now at this point. And I just want to ask, like, after you were finished, you went back to art school. During that time, were you like doing any other musical projects? Were you working on anything else at that time when you were done, or were you kind of like drained?
I think I was starting to work on the. Oh, I was in a band called Robocop. I'll send you a link to
For sure.
that. That was like really. Shoot. Was mostly like a weird joke. Like kind of a jokey art project more than an actual band. And then I was also probably starting to record parts of that Grin Without a Cat or the Cat Without the Outline.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That took about like 2 years to make.
And it was it like an ambient tape?
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
And this was like the first one since Ninja High School. You're like, because you told me earlier how you like that's what you were into when you were younger. Was this like it felt
Yeah.
like a return to it?
Yeah, it was like a really earnest attempt to try and make some sort of like krautrock, like glitchy, like all the things I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then did so this is that a part of the Blue Tapes, or is that the Blue Tapes come after that?
That's the first Blue Tapes release.
Okay,
Yeah.
for sure.
Like
Cuz
David who runs Blue Tapes has joked that the label was started to put that out. Because I met him through Ninja High School. He was sent by, I think, Plan B magazine to cover us. And he ended up like staying at our house and like came to this, like had some sort of quasi-religious experience at a show we performed on a New Year's Eve where we had found this zebra skin in the street and we brought it with us and people just like ripped it to shreds, like just like pulled it apart and then
A
people were
real
like
zebra
wearing
skin?
parts of it. Yeah.
Whoa, that's pretty metal.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was a super strange thing to find.
Yeah, I can definitely see that being quasi-religious or spiritual awakening right there. Like it sounds like something out of like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then can you just talk a little bit, because I mean, that's what you got going on right now is the Blue Tapes, right? Like
Yeah.
that's your main gig right now. Like what's going on with that?
Well, I've done like a lot of remixes for other people for it. Like weird little one-off things. Like, I don't know if they ever properly came out, but there were supposed to be these like tape loops sealed inside Walkman. And I was really proud of the ones I made for that. And then, yeah, my like stand-up comedy album. Have you listened to that at all?
No, I haven't actually been able to. I've only listened like a track from the Blue Tapes, which was like, I'm trying to remember. It had like a loop of like this dude on a stage, and it was like mirrored. So it was like two of the dude. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. That's the only thing
Oh, yeah.
I was able to listen to it from.
Yeah, that's probably, I think that's Kira's recording,
I
right?
think, yeah, I think so. I think your voice is on there too. Let me double check. I think I can find it.
Like, so I've been doing stand-up comedy for a while, and I said to David, like, why don't I put out a stand-up comedy album? And he was like, well, how do we make it like weird music? And I was like, what if I record the album and then like a bunch of people make like weird remixes of it for everything?
Oh, okay, so the audio tracks are you during your sets, but then like it would just kind of it would
Yeah,
be.
people have like turned it into other stuff.
Wow,
Yeah.
that's actually really fucking cool. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. I just tweeted that to you, or sent it to you on Twitter.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And there's like another thing coming out with Eugene Robinson from Oxbow. That should be out soon, I think.
Sorry, I'm looking at it right now, my bad. Have to make a fan account to follow this. Oh my goodness. Sorry, I'm just trying to follow you on Bandcamp, and it's just like you need to make because I have an artist account on there.
Oh,
Yeah,
right.
all right, cool. I just followed you guys. I'll definitely be checking out. And if I ordered a cassette, it's like an actual cassette, right?
Yeah, it's like a
If
2-hour cassette, yeah.
okay, I don't have a cassette player, but if I did, that would be something nice to own. And you know what? I might have to go down to the Goodwill, see what they got in terms of cassette players, and try and like, listen to some Blue Tapes. Because from what I have heard, now I don't really listen to too much like
It's a
heavy
really
metal.
interesting label. Like, I really
Yeah.
like a lot of the other stuff I'm like alongside is like exactly what I would want to go out and listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick. I think try and use it as like a stepping stone, 'cause I've been trying to branch out more musically. I've been too structured, if you know what I'm saying, like in the whole I'm like, oh, a verse, chorus, a bridge,
Yeah.
things I'm familiar with, or like I listen to a lot of rap, so I'm very like I'm like here's a verse,
Yeah.
here's the chorus. Ooh, here's the breakdown. Do you listen to any hip hop, like modern hip hop at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably listening to it all wrong. I've always listened to like tons of it. Like I'm trying to think of who I like right now. I really like Porter Ray.
Porter
And
Ray.
yeah. He's like kind of like he's kind of like a I think he's affiliated with Space Ghost Perp in some way.
Oh, okay.
Like they're both from Seattle.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
I haven't heard of them, but is there a good standout track I should check out?
His whole he had a record called Nightfall that's really good. Yeah. It should be on Bandcamp.
Oh, okay. I'm on Spotify.
Yeah.
I'll just
You
note it down.
should probably be on Spotify
Yeah. Spotify, it's just like it's so convenient, right? It's just like it
too.
has so much there. But Bandcamp's cool because you can find like so much cool stuff. I don't know. There's the internet
I
just
don't
like.
use Spotify at all. Like occasionally I check in on it, but like I'm obsessed with Bandcamp because it's like it's so weird and it's like everyone's running it themselves. It's like
Yeah.
yeah, it's like the
Bandcamp's
ultimate
like.
indie record store. Like it's so good.
And then Spotify is like the mega metropolis of just music. Like there's like
Yeah.
skyscrapers, right? But then you have like things in between alleyways. It's
Yeah.
like all of it, like as much as you can find. But then like Bandcamp stuff is just like the indie store. Those are all my questions. I'm going to stop the recording now, but I do just want to talk a little bit more if you have the time.